Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is Doña Ana County Associated Sportsmen President, John Cornell, to talk to us about the reintroduction of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks Conservation Act, which will help protect wilderness within the National Monument. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you, Emily, for having me.
You're welcome. First of all, let's talk about what the Doña Ana County Associated Sportsmen do, and then we'll go into what the legislation, why it was reintroduced.
Sure. Well, the Doña Ana County Associated Sportsmen started out in the early 1950s as a recreational shooting club, and since then we have evolved into a service club. So we advocate for sportsmen in New Mexico. We work closely with the Game and Fish Department. We actually have a long history of volunteerism with the Game and Fish Department, and we were fortunate enough to have one of our founding members remember us in his will, and he left us a little sum of money, and through good fortune and I would say not wise investing but more luck, we turned that into a sizable fund. And part of the stipulation of us receiving that is that we fund scholarships at New Mexico State University in the Wildlife Department. And I'm proud to say, through those scholarships through the years and another endowment, we have funded well over $100,000 to New Mexico, worthy New Mexico students in the Wildlife Department. So we're really, really pleased about that.
In 2014, President Obama established the monument. The Oregon Mountain Peaks Conservation Act now is being reintroduced. What's the difference between establishing the monument and the Conservation Act?
Yes, in May of 2014, President Obama used the Antiquities Act to designate the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument. Prior to that, and we can go back 30 years to when Senator Bingaman and Senator Domenici were in the Congress, they recognized that these special quality lands in Doña Ana County were worthy of wilderness consideration, so they actually got legislation passed to make those wilderness study areas, which they have been in place all this time. Well, now that we have a national monument, it's time to go back and reintroduce permanent legislation, because wilderness studies aren't permanent, but it's time within the monument to take these special lands and make them permanent wilderness. Wilderness offers the highest level of protection you can give any land.
And what does it protect?
What it does, it protects unique landscapes, whether it has to do with wildlife resources, whether it has to do with vegetation, whether it has to do with cultural and historical considerations, antiquities. So these areas are special. The monument's very special, and we were extremely excited to have our monument because we're already seeing benefits from having it. But these areas take that level of protection even to the next level, and they're worthy of that because they really are special.
So what benefits you said you've seen?
Well, we've seen economic benefits. Its studies have shown that protected public lands adjacent to Western communities like Las Cruces get economic benefits through increased tourism and people wanting, you know, it puts us on the map, basically. Now, when you look at a map, it says National Monument, and people are curious and they want to come and see what we have to offer. And we have a lot to offer. This monument is really got some special places.
So the reintroduction of legislation can only be done then by Congress designating the official wilderness area.
That's correct, yeah. It's only Congress can enact wilderness areas, as opposed to a national monument where the president can use an executive order and sign off on it himself. But it takes a full act of Congress.
So now we have two New Mexico senators, Tom Udall and Martin Heinrich, and they've reintroduced it. Tell me about that.
They have. And again, they had worked on a wilderness legislation prior to this. Actually, originally the whole monument was trying to be considered for wilderness. The climate in Washington, D.C. wasn't conducive to both sides working on these types of protections. So it just wasn't going to happen. And, you know, even now there's still some issues with this, but we're hopeful that maybe both sides can come together, can see that these areas already were protected as wilderness study areas, they're special areas. Polling in the county shows that almost 80% of Doña Ana County residents want this. And isn't that how democracy works? The polling was done by the Green Chamber of Commerce.
So we talked about what it will due to, you know, the proposed wilderness will strengthen the wildlife habitat. And I understand there's approximately 306 bird species and 78 mammal species. And what about the watershed? How does it protect the watershed that these animals depend on?
Right. And, of course, we're, you know, sportsmen, and we're always interested in protecting and enhancing wildlife habitat because those are the best areas for us to hunt because that's where wildlife want to be. And when you protect these areas, of course, you're protecting them from development. You're protecting them from overuse of roads and off-highway vehicles. And those are the most damaging things to watersheds. By leaving these in a natural state and protecting them permanently, we're actually ensuring that those watersheds can operate as healthy as they possibly can. And that is extremely important to those of us that live in the desert Southwest.
Have you had any challenges against this?
There are folks that you know, a certain segment that's afraid of government intervention and thinks that if the government is going to regulate something, that it's going to take it away from them. But that, you know, that's not the case. Everything in the monument is going on as it did before. You know, ranching is continuing, and ranching will continue in the wilderness areas. And in fact, actually, this kind of, you would think that the ranchers would welcome this because it does limit development. And development doesn't do anything for the ranching operations like it doesn't do anything for hunting.
So then you can have activities continue such as hunting and then your livestock grazing, hiking, camping, horseback riding.
Horseback riding. Just, it, you know, mechanized usage is limited in it. And so that's the big thing. You can't have motorized vehicles, but you can do anything, like you say, hiking, horseback riding, camping, hunting. You know, we don't have any fishing, but you can still continue to do trapping. You can still continue to do those activities.
And also firefighting will continue, law enforcement, and of course border security. That'll continue in the wilderness acreage, which is about 240,000 acres.
It is, and actually part of the legislation releases some of the wilderness study areas on the southernmost part of it to allow better patrolling and enforcement for the Border Patrol, which is why they support it. So the senators are actually removing some of these restrictions to make it easier for Border Patrol to do what they do.
And how will it protect and preserve rich tribal and Hispano heritage?
Well, it just, what it does is, and we see it all over the monument, we have all kinds of these kinds of historical things. And what it does is, first of all, it kind of enhances the area so you get a little more awareness of this through the public and even by the BLM who manages it. So they will have people that will be hired to, you know, extra people and extra funding to help make sure that these areas are protected and kept like they have been for hundreds of years.
And so let's talk about the 8 wilderness areas that will be protected. We have Aden Lava Flow Wilderness. And what is this area best known for?
Well, you know, this is an old, actually, eruption of a volcano.
We had volcanoes here in this area, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We had a lot of volcanic activity in this area, and this is actually a very distinguishable crater that you can actually get out on the ground and see the perimeters of where the eruption occurred from this. It's really fascinating.
Has there been any new activity?
I hope not.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Then there's the Broad Canyon Wilderness. Tell me about that.
Broad Canyon Wilderness is really known for its petroglyphs. There are thousands of petroglyphs in this area, which obviously need to be protected, and which is why this was included, because it had those special historical petroglyphs in there.
And then the Cinder Cone Wilderness.
Cinder Cone Wilderness is another sign of volcanic activity, and it's actually another visible crater.
So that's up in the mountains?
Yes.
How far is it if you go into the Oregon Mountains, is it?
You know, it's probably, you know, which is kind of unique about our monument and these wilderness study areas, you know, they're in close proximity to a big populated center like this, but it, you know, it can take an hour to get out there because once you get off the pavement, the roads are sometimes two tracks and very slow going. So, yeah, it can take you a while to get to some of these special sites.
And, of course, the Oregon Mountain Wilderness, which They've been mentioned in some very early Spanish journals, right?
Well, those
and the Potrillo Mountain Wilderness, I haven't been to that area. What does that have?
You know, what it, the Potrillos are unique in themselves. You know, there's actually historical signs of bighorn sheep are in the Potrillo Mountains, mule deer, antelope, and quite an abundance of wildlife in that area. So it's a really rugged landscape. And because it's so remote, you don't see a lot of human activity in there, which gives those that want that experience to have that backcountry experience and get back in there and just be alone.
But there, at one time, though, there was human life there with the Pueblo sites, the classic Mimbres.
Correct.
Pueblos. And so that's close to El Paso.
Yes.
And then the Robledo Mountain Wilderness.
Well, the Robledos, I think, are probably known best now for our other monument in Doñana County, and that is the trackways.
Uh-huh, the Paleozoic trackways.
That's correct. That's another special area that we're fortunate to have here in Doñana County.
And these mountains also sheltered a bandit. Who was that?
I think he was William Bonney.
Billy the Kid.
Or better known as Billy the Kid.
And also Geronimo in the late 19th century, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And then the Sierra de las Uvas Wilderness. That, I understand, is a great hunting spot.
It is a very good hunting spot. There are three species of quail in there. We see abundance of mule deer, javelinas in there. We hunt javelinas in there. Yeah, that's a special area, very special area that sportsmen, we don't like to let our secrets out too much, but that's a good area that we like to go into.
And then, of course, the Whitethorn Wilderness, another area for lava.
Yes, another area for lava. And actually, that kind of overlaps into Luna County. And it's a special area. I'll be honest with you, I haven't spent much time in that area. It's kind of remote, but I know it is special.
And how can the community continue to help protect this wilderness?
You know, there's a great organization here locally. It's called the Friends of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks. And if you Google them or go to their website, they're a great organization. I would recommend anybody join that. They do volunteer projects. They're out in the monument all the time. They're doing cleanups. They're doing hikes. They're doing educational programs with children. That would be the best way, I think, for local folks, if they want to be involved, would be to join the Friends group.
Well, they can also visit the OregonMountains.org website.
That's correct, yes.
Well, I really appreciate you coming out and talking to us about this. Now, has this legislation gone through?
No.
How can the community help get it through?
You know, the first thing the community can do is contact Senators Udall and Senators Heinrich, their offices. They have local offices here. Call them and say, thank you for introducing this. We support you. You know, what could we do to help, whether it's letters to, you know, the senators or whoever else. The main thing is to let them know that the community supports them because it'll be a uphill push. But if they know that they've got 80% of the people here behind them, it sure makes their job a lot easier.
And can they contact you as well?
They sure can.
They reach you?
You could reach me at my email address is jcls1010@gmail.com, and they can reach me by phone at 575-740-1759, and we welcome new members to our sportsman groups here in town, too. We'd love to have folks come to our monthly meetings. Doñana County Association Sportsmen meets the third Tuesday of every month at 7 o'clock at the Game and Fish office.
Thank you so much for joining us on Puentes, and you're definitely a bridge to the community. President of the Doñana County Associated Sportsmen, John Cornell.
Thank you for having me again, Emily.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.